This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Ours is a new love, but it burns very brightly, and it gets hot and sweaty and stanky. There's some stank on that love.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
You think you're going to find somebody that's going to be like psyched to go to Applebee's with you every Friday night and hear the same football stories about how you rocked in high school?
I did rock at high school football. You want to check tape?
And Brendan Sprague.
You know about the cup sizes and all?
I have different cups.
Yeah, I know about the cup.
You got the A, the B. The C, the D, that's the biggest.
I know the D is the biggest. I based my whole life on knowing that the D is the biggest.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. I hope your Tuesday afternoon's going all right. I hope your Memorial Day weekend was, you at least got to hang out with some family, have a little barbecue, remember those who have given us the ultimate sacrifice for this great country. It's good to be back on the saddle.
We're back, baby.
We are back. Hey, shocking development. The biggest bully in sports history also ends up being one of the biggest liars in sports history. Michael Jordan caught in 1992 talking about how he didn't want Isaiah Thomas to be on the Dream Team, and then did this docuseries where it makes him look amazing and says, I didn't say that. That wasn't me.
We have ESPN.
Was there any doubt that that was him? Like, we all knew even when he said it. Like, Mike, come on.
He didn't want to play with Isaiah Thomas. What's the big deal? Can I also throw this out there, too? Because we have ESPN on, and we probably should change it, because I think there's actually Bundesliga soccer on that, at least is live sports. But this is all they're talking about.
I know.
It's like every show I've looked up at, you go now Jalen and Jacoby's on, and they're talking about MJ on Isaiah. Why are we rehashing? Who cares?
You're right. Why did I bring it up? I'm an idiot.
This is in 1992. Like, Isaiah Thomas is like 55 years old now.
That was like four sexual harassment cases ago for Isaiah Thomas. Leave him alone already.
The guy is a POS. Who cares if he was on the Dream Team or not?
Yeah, whatever. all right. We have a lot to get to in the second hour. Dirt has a very controversial wedding date, and
we need to hash that one out.
Boy, oh boy, we need to talk. It might be crunch time that we get to that. we've got NFL True or False coming up at the bottom of the hour, and then coming up, we'll see how this conversation goes. I'd like to share some Lance Armstrong thoughts.
Okay, because I didn't watch any of it, so I'm curious for your thoughts.
About an hour and a half, I watched half of it.
Like, I'm out.
And I quit. Tiger, Phil, Peyton, and Brady, they got together for their four-person The Match 2 on TNT on Sunday. Weather conditions were just terrible.
Awful.
Actually, I think it got delayed, their start time. Wasn't it supposed to start around 11? And I turned it on at noon going, oh, I'm probably four holes back. They hadn't even started yet.
No, I think it was supposed to start at noon.
It was, the TV broadcast was scheduled for noon, but I think they were supposed to get going
earlier.
They had to fill quite a bit.
Yeah.
I thought I had heard throughout the week that it was going to be 11. Anyways, that doesn't matter. The weather sucked. Where do you want to start? Tom Brady lying about his handicap, Phil Mickelson being awesome, Tiger Woods and his legs, or Peyton Manning
Tiger and his legs
and his random comments / hatred and devotion to Tennessee football.
Dude, some of his Peyton Manning trash talk was off the charts, and maybe I should have expected that because he was kind of funny on the little teleconference call that they did. Like, he had some good lines in there about the combined rings and that kind of stuff.
How New England would root against Tom Brady because he just left him.
His line about Brady should have had Gronk caddy for him because he does everything that Gronk does everything that Tom wants him to
Loved
do.
It.
His line that Eli and Nick Foles should have been there because he can't beat him in Super Bowls. Like, dude, Peyton Manning trash talk was off the charts. And I fully am ready to admit whenever I am wrong. And I remember when the format was announced, I was like, this is stupid. Who wants to watch Peyton Manning and Tom Brady golf? One, it was awesome to watch Tom Brady suck because he's good at everything and he's married to a supermodel. So it was fun to watch him flail around a golf course, even though he had the shot of the day. But after a shot of the day, he split his pants. So it kind of was a net even. And then Peyton Manning, like his commentary and jokes, like made the day, I thought. Like Phil was great.
I also thought he was a pretty good little golfer.
Dude, his iron play was great. Like yeah. Somebody texted in his every par three he was dialed in. Like
he's on the green almost every time.
Like I love watching pro golfers, but the match, whatever they called it last week on the drive for relief. I watched five or six holes of it on the DVR and was like, eh, all right, this is dumb. I'm going to turn it off. I just saw a couple of shots here and there. I did the same thing. I golfed Sunday afternoon, got back late, and I was like, I just want to dive into it. I ended up watching almost all of it late on the DVR because it was captivating television.
It sounds like Turner got a real advantage, too, of seeing the previous week's golf tournament not go well and
don't
say,
do it that way.
We're not doing this. Yeah. We're not doing that. Yeah. We're not going to call the president up. We're not going to put Bill Murray on and put him on hold.
Right. Let's get Justin Thomas calling Charles Barkley a fat ass in front of 5 million people.
Was Charles always a part of the broadcast?
Yeah, he was in there from the start.
Okay. I think so, yeah.
When I turned it on for pre-match coverage, he was one of the four people. It was him, some Scottish guy, or a guy with an accent, so apologies
that
there.
That is former Masters champion Trevor Immelman from South Africa.
There you go, South Africa. He had a great accent.
That's close enough.
And
close enough on the accent.
Brian Anderson. I love Justin Thomas on the course, too.
He was good.
He was great.
He had a good balance of actual golf perspective mixed in with calling Charles Barkley a fat ass. Now, I also enjoyed Tom Brady to a certain extent because he didn't allow how crappy he knew he was to bring his entire attitude down. Like, was he frustrated? Sure. But when you start playing golf that poorly in front of 6 million people.
And with like Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson.
And your counterpart in football and Peyton Manning, who's doing a pretty damn good job.
He's whooping your ass out there.
We've all been in that mode, right? Sure. It's easy to get into a bad mood and it's basically what Swigard became on Sunday at your bachelor party. Nobody wanted to talk to him. He didn't want to talk to anybody else. He was blowing up on the course. It happens. That's what golf can do to us.
Sure.
But I love that he kept it kind of neutral, laughed about it. He hit a couple big shots. Not only that birdie, he had a putt that they needed to win a hole, and I'd say it was a good 17 feet away. And Phil was like, kind of straight, goes a little left. He hit it perfectly and drained it.
Yeah.
So he had some good moments as well. Overall, well done. And not only that, they raised, what, $25 million for COVID?
Yeah, it was insane. They had the $10 million that they started with from whoever was putting up
all the big
initial
sponsors or something.
Stuff. And then,
I thought that was great. And you can't, I know the PGA is coming back. There is no excuse. You could be doing this every weekend going into the start of the PGA Tour if you wanted to do that. You really could. And you would get roughly the same amount of years. It'd probably skew anywhere from 3.8 mil to about what you topped out at 6 or 6.5 million, depending on who's playing. But there's an audience out there, man, that just, I know I was at my in-law's house on Sunday afternoon. We did a little yard work, and then I was doing nothing. I just brought up on my phone. I watched the first 14, 15 holes. I saw the couple end at the end on DVR when I got home. But I watched most of that whole tournament or that round. It was it was fun.
The notes, the numbers, by the way, for last week, which was on NBC, I believe, the TaylorMade Drive for Relief.
It was on Golf Channel.
Golf Channel, okay. That averaged about 2.3 million people, the TaylorMade one.
My guess, it peaked early and
probably
stuck around.
But that's the Golf Channel, though. You put that on NBC or Fox?
Sure. Maybe it would
probably ups it to 3.5.
Sure, but this was on TNT and TBS, so it wasn't on network television. It averaged 6.3 million. People, which is a huge, huge number when you consider that for other golf tournaments. For example, that outrated the opening round of the Masters last year. The average on ESPN last year when the Masters started, of course, the Tiger won 4.9 million. So you had almost 1.5 million more people watching that. It also had more average viewers than the final rounds of last year's PGA Championship by 1.3 million and the British Open by almost 3 million.
Yeah.
Like you outrated two major championships on average. So it was an ultimate hit for golf. It was great to see. It was entertaining the entire time. I think the part of it, just from a golf fan angle, that I would love to see, at least in the short term, and this goes back to the conversation we were having about the NHL and the NBA and how can you enhance the television stuff. having somebody like Phil Mickelson mic'd up and hearing his thought process through different shots, like that was the first thing that stood out to me when I turned it on, because I had some buddies texting me while I was golfing of saying how cool that was. So I was excited to get home and watch it. Like his thought process and explaining what he was thinking, here's what I'm going to try and do, and then executing the shot was so fun to watch from a golf angle. That you have to find a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Is rope a couple of those guys in when tournaments come back in June of just saying, hey, man, are some of you okay to be mic'd up? If you can do it in a baseball game, there's no reason you can't do it in golf. They're talking to their caddy. You don't have to have an interview with them back and forth, but just to mic them up so you can hear their thought process more. I love that, and I thought that was a great angle that they had.
We got some more thoughts on this. You're welcome to chime in with your thoughts as well at the fan text line 55305. We'll get to that. We got NFL true or false, and then I'm just going to give a quick note on the Lance Armstrong 30 for 30. Maybe I'm out there on this one, but I had to turn it off midway. We'll talk about all that next on The Fan. It's a good question here at The Fan text line. Who would the next foursome be if you had to do a tournament this weekend? They won't, but I still think they should. Would you mix it with celebrities again or other athletes? Where would you go with it? I don't know if four golfers, you know, unless you did Tiger, Phil, Koepka, Rory or something like that, like huge names, all four of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they draw in the same way that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning do, because say what you want about them, man, they probably got a decent percentage of that audience to go, I love Tom. Oh, I love Peyton. I'll watch.
Yeah,
well, I think the one guy we know loves golf is Steph Curry. I think you get Curry in.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got a season potentially to get ready for.
Does he? What about MJ?
No.
You don't think people would tune in to watch with the MJ fever we got right now?
Steph and MJ with Justin Thomas, who we know is good on the mic, with Brooks Koepka.
No way. Don't you have to do Keegan Bradley against MJ?
Keegan versus
MJ.
He's
the one that rocks the MJ. I think he's the lone golf.
The MJ golfer.
Endorser of Michael Jordan golf stuff.
Harold Varner III is a jump brand player, and I think there's a couple others too. He has four or five out there.
Mm.
Tony Romo. A lot of people texting in Tony Romo.
Romo Curry.
I think the thing too is not just about finding somebody that's good at golf. And this would be the thing with Steph Curry, is you have to have a personality. Like, it wasn't like if Peyton Manning was
Did you
not,
think Tiger's personality was all that
well,
great?
Well, see, Tiger's Tiger.
Yeah.
Like, Tiger could not say a word for all 18 holes. And he get if you just
but he
aired,
got in because everybody else started getting in the mix, then he had his subtle jabs. So once he was comfortable with the atmosphere of what was going on, plus the fact that he didn't miss a fairway, I think, until the eighth or ninth hole.
Well, he was playing old man golf. He was doing Tiger stingers just straight out and let him roll a little bit.
Like if you just aired Tiger Woods playing 18 holes, I think he would get 2 million viewers.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's that's the Tiger effect.
Now, the trick is, if they were down three at the turn, would he have been as chatty, or would he have clammed up and been, you know, club throwing Tiger?
And then Barkley is watchable because, one, it's a train wreck, and two, he's hilarious.
I don't want to watch him golf.
You don't want to watch him play
18? Thought he did. I'll say this.
You just put him on the broadcast.
He was really good on that broadcast. He didn't overstep. He didn't try to talk the whole time. When he talked, he had something funny. He took, you know, the shots from Justin Thomas or Tom Brady when he told him to shut his mouth. He rolled with it. He participated. He offered Brady $50,000 if he had it to the hole, or 25. He even got on the green. As soon as Brady hit the tee shot, it goes way right. And Barkley goes, well, there's always next time, Tom. I want Barkley on the telecast. Yeah. I don't want
to
watch Barkley golf.
The entertainment.
I know Barkley sucks at golf. I don't. That'd be like me saying, I want to watch me golf. No, thank you. I'm terrible. I don't want to watch a terrible golfer.
I think they did something like that with the TNT crew too last year when wasn't the PGA Championship at East Lake in Atlanta, and I think they had a thing down there because their studios were down there, so they went and played. I can't remember if they aired it on TV, but I remember seeing highlights where they put like the shot tracer up for some of Barkley's tee shots, and you just watch the laser just it was not hitting the fairway. So
okay,
he's not very good.
One, I want to ask you quickly. How, like, I know Tiger got really big during the weightlifting stuff in his life, and clearly he took the note of everybody in the world saying, dude, stop doing that. It's not helping your body. And he doesn't lift, I think, quite as much. Boy, he looks so much smaller than all of them, didn't he?
He's got skinny legs.
Even Phil looked bigger than Tiger. Yeah. And I was kind of like, what? Is that because you don't have pants on?
Yeah, I think it's just this, you've just never seen him play in shorts, really. Because every time you watch him, you see him in pants. And he was always, he was bulky up top. Not bulky, but he was strong. Yeah, he was well built up top.
I think his legs have always been, all his work was up in his shoulder and his chest and his torso. I think his legs were just, he didn't want those to get big and bulky because he needed his legs to be able to rotate.
Yeah.
Also, whose golf cart would you have bought if you had the money? Which one would you have wanted to purchase? Because they auctioned Tigers. All four of them
Oh,
off.
Did they really auction them all
that was
off?
Cool.
They customed the carts and then auctioned them off. Yeah, raise more.
No, Tigers. I mean, Tigers was cool.
Yeah, Tigers was pretty badass.
It's Tigers.
Peyton's was pretty good. It had all the different, I mean, it had Colts and Broncos and Volunteers and
TV 12.
Phil's was a little
TV-12
on that TV-12 card.
Did you guys see the Phil Mickelson trash talk video in the parking lot?
Yep.
That he tweeted out?
Oh, yeah, before the round.
He was his math equation and hitting bombs and cuts. Like, dude, Phil Mickelson has been a phenomenal social media follow. I think that's just the thing, though. Like, if you want to rope people in to watch for 4 hours, there's I think if you went with four good
that
golfers,
round was about 5.5 to 6.
It went for a long time.
Started almost an hour after they came on the air.
And to average that number of viewers throughout the entire thing, I think tells you that it's not just golf, right? Like if you throw, and this is a prime example again of last week where you had four world-class golfers out there, but all of them are very dry personalities. Like we love Ricky Fowler because he wears bright and vibrant clothes. The guy doesn't have much of a personality.
They're dull.
So you have to have something. There needs to be trash talk. There needs to be funny banter back and forth. I think that's the angle if you want to rope in big viewers and make a lot of money and have it be worth your while.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people texting in Bill Murray. Bill Murray would be great. If you get Bill Murray out there talking trash, playing against MJ mixed with, you know, a couple other golfers, if you want to get Tiger Woods involved again, just because he's going to rope people in, you have to have good personalities. And they did this weekend.
It was nice to watch one of the best at his position all time to be about as bad at something as I am.
Yeah, there's no chance Tom's an 8 handicap.
It's zero. Unless he dialed it in, retired, and played year round. Yeah, okay. I'll say his athletic ability, which clearly he's got a lot of it. His swing looked fine. I think he eventually gets to 8 handicap. There is no chance he's even sub 14 handicap. Yeah. He is terrible.
Yeah.
Half the shots, they were giving him gimme putts. This was bothering me too. Every time Tom Brady seemed to get a putt.
Yeah, they tried to cheer him up.
Dude, he'd be like 5-6 feet away and like, that's a gimme, Tom.
They're good.
Come on. That's a gimme putt distance? We're doing 5 and 6 feet away? I had like a 3.5 foot putt on your bachelor party weekend.
Hey, money's on the line. You right. Putt it out, Mom.
Yeah, we're playing for $20. I had to putt out and guess what? I missed it. High pressure golf putts, man.
Yeah, that you texted me that. I started chuckling when you said, what's the proper distance for gimme putts?
Well, what is it? Because if the pros are saying, go ahead, Tom, you can take a 5.5 foot putt, that's a gimme. Excuse me. I saw him off the tee box just spray it right in. Gimme for Tom Brady.
There's a couple follow-up questions. One, are you playing for money? And if the answer is no, if you're putting for something that is not worthwhile, I will give you a lot of putts.
Like if I'm at 6 feet, we're not playing for money, and I'm putting, and my current putt is going to be for like a 9.
Yeah, pick it up. You're good. Mm. You don't need to make that putt. But if you're putting for par, and you got a birdie putt that's like 2-3 feet, like, okay, dude, you finish that out.
Then tell me what's the distance that's gimme when money's on the line.
When money's on the line, I usually go inside of inside 10 inches.
Okay.
And those, I mean, essentially it's just a tap in to finish it anyways.
Boy, he was getting all. Yeah,
if I'm playing with money on the line and it has to be your opponent, it's all up to the opponent to give you the putt to say that's good. But if you roll one to like 6 inches away from the hole, I'm not going to make you go mark it and stand over it and finish. Like,
that's a different situation though, right? That's like, what a great shot. That's a gimme that you earned that, right? Yeah, you're going to tap that in anyway.
There was one, though, Tiger gave, I think it was that putt that Brady made because Phil was just inside him by a foot or something. It was like 12 feet out. He gave it because he didn't want Phil to show Tom the line. Phil actually took an extra stroke. So Phil could have putted that, even though it was for par. Mm-hmm. but shown Brady the line. That was strategy. Tiger gave him, said that putt's good because he didn't want Phil to show him the line.
No, I know, but
and
Brady,
that's part of match play.
Yeah. Brady had like two or three gimmies, though, that were at least 6 feet. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, that's because he was already two strokes.
Yeah, there was nothing to
putt for. Putt out like every other normal American that has
putt
to
like
golf.
Like a champion, all right?
And not, suck.
You don't do that in match play.
I don't care. I want to see
format.
It. I want to see it. I got to putt out, make somebody else putt out. God, I love watching how bad he was, too. And something about that made me happy.
It does. It cheers you up a little bit. Watching other people struggle and go through some misery who have otherwise a perfect life, I did enjoy that. Wondering to myself, could I beat Tom Brady at golf? And the answer for most of the day was, yeah, I think I could probably take him.
Who was the first of the three that watched him play and went, 8 handicap? Huh?
Wow, really, Tom?
Because I think it was Tiger in his mind. I think Tiger was like, 8 handicap, my ass.
Yeah, I'm not buying that at all, Tom.
Well, I don't know. They had been playing practice rounds all week.
Tom played a round before they played.
Yeah, he played 18 holes.
He got out there in the morning and played 18 holes before their match play tournament.
That's the most Tom Brady thing of all time.
I know.
He's got to go get dialed in, make sure I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do have a poll question up there. You can go vote on what the proper distance is for gimme putts. If format does have a lot to do with it. Money has a lot to do with
sure.
it. But there it does become, I think, to the point that you're making, like match play is different because there's nothing for him to putt for if he doesn't have a chance to win the hole, right? So you just tell him to pick it up. But there does become a point when you're playing with somebody who's struggling that you get there. Like if you're playing with somebody that's throwing up sevens and eights every hole, like you get, like you're with inside 5 feet. I'm giving you that putt, man. Like you're struggling enough. You look miserable. You're not having any fun. Just that's good.
Just
go
take
ahead.
It.
You take that putt. That one's yours, buddy.
What do you want me to put on this? A snowman
yeah.
or more?
Yeah, just take that one. That one counts.
All right. I got one quick thought because I don't think we're going to really talk about it as a segment. I watched about half of the Lance Armstrong 30 for 30.
Okay.
Not good.
Still a D-bag?
Still a D-bag. He is always, I think, just going to be somebody that you look at him and you either somehow have sympathy for him or you just have a disdain for the dude that will never go away. Even with his backstory and hearing about how he became a triathlete and that kind of led him into bicycling and his mom had him when she was 16. His dad was never really around. He was a dumb high school jock too. And then he took the last name of his first stepdad, who actually ended up being a big POS and like abused him and stuff. Even with all that, I'm still like, he's so defiant. And even when he like admits to cheating and admits to doping and tells you when he first did it and why he did it, all of that stuff is somewhat relatable, but it's the tone in which he conveys that message. I just didn't care. You know, it was like, oh, first time I cheated when I was 21. We doped. Everyone was doping. I did dope. I knew what I was doing. I knew what I was putting in my body. And it's like, yeah, you're being honest, but you're still kind of being an a-hole.
Yeah.
And so I got through about half of it, and I just, you know, I feel how I feel about Lance Armstrong. I don't know if this was meant to have this big, great turnaround where we welcome back in our arms Lance Armstrong. It didn't work for me at all.
I wasn't interested in watching it for the reasons that you're pointing out. I'm kind of not interested in that storyline. The 98 home run one, I think is going to be a lot of fun to relive it. And I guess to hear from McGuire and Sosa again, just because that was such a incredible summer for sports fans.
Well, I want to know how much the steroids are going to be a part of that.
Sure.
It has to be the driving thing behind it, right?
Right. You hope so. And then the Bruce Lee one, like that, I just don't know much about that story. So I'm fascinated in that. It's amazing to me that people, after all these years, still have not learned that we as Americans love redemption stories and we love comeback stories, but you have to be genuine in order for us to grant you that opportunity. And if you're not going to show serious remorse, like, you know, like we've all been apologized to or we've all had to apologize at one point or another in our lives, you know, when it's genuine or not. Like if somebody screws you over and they come back and it's a, you know, not a heartfelt or a half-assed apology, you're like, all right, whatever, man. Like you didn't really actually mean that.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's amazing to me that people don't learn that lesson, that just like humble yourself in front of everybody And for the most part, we're a pretty forgiving society. And we'd say, all right, Lance, we get it. Dude, everybody was doping. When he lost his Tour de France titles, didn't they go to like the fifth or sixth place rider? Because the other like five guys had all doped too. Like,
dude, no, there's only one American that's officially won the Tour de France. And it was the first one.
The first one ever. Yeah. Like, dude, as long as you're genuine in it, I think people would be more receptive. But if that's the way he was apologizing, then I'm glad I didn't
watch it. He doesn't know how. That's what I took away from it.
He's a personality type.
He very much wishes he could be contrite and to settle into some traditional normal life in the background. And he does not know how. He has no clue how to do it.
Well, that doesn't make you money, though. I think we need to not overlook that. He's paying millions of dollars in lawsuits. He just paid the federal government $5 mil.
Oh, really?
If you think he's going to sit in Austin, Texas and do nothing when he could put his name out there and make some money from somewhere, I think we're gravely mistaken.
But
on that.
I think him talking about, the settlement was the most one of the most interesting parts when he was in the boat with his daughter going around and looking at his old house in Austin. That was one of the more revealing things. And when he was talking about having the head guy of the governing body of cycling in his back pocket.
Oh, yeah,
That was the most... Those told you everything you need to know about Lance Armstrong. He should play poker because nobody reads the room better than he does. now, he can't have, you got to play in short sleeves, but... Boy, nobody can read a room. I bet if he put all that energy and A-type personality into understanding poker, he might be pretty good.
It's hard to have sympathy. I guess I'd say this.
I don't have sympathy for him.
A lot of people have moments or periods, whether they're kids, teenagers, young 20-somethings, whatever. I think a lot of us have moments where, didn't act the best, right?
For sure.
I wish I would have acted differently or a little better. He basically just, to me... I've heard about all the stories behind the scenes about how behind the scenes he's a monster. He's mean to people. He says some horrific things. He basically touched on that. He self-admittedly tells you he is a complete D-bag.
Yeah.
And he still looks for sympathy for that regard. And it's hard for me to have any for him. All right. We should have the announcement from the NHL coming up here in just a moment. They were set to schedule and tell us what's going to happen at 1:30. So hopefully we'll have that news for you. And then we'll get to our NFL true or false.
Hey, welcome back in. 1:35. Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, is unveiling his plan. Two different hub cities. Regular season's done. Everything that's been reported so far, he's just basically labeling that.
Each team has their own hotel, limited personnel staff.
So far, I've seen the biggest issue is from a couple of hockey writers on Twitter saying that they just had a call with NHL GMs before this, and it got done before Bettman went out to unveil it. They were hoping that it would come with specific dates, which it did not.
Mm.
So there was not a, hey, on June 1st, blah, blah, blah is going to happen. On June 15th, this is going to happen. Phase 3 begins on July 1st, and that's when we'll start playing the game. So that was a frustration, it sounds like, from NHL teams. Everything else in the plan, look, you're going to have differing opinions. Some people like it, some people don't. But the plan was kind of already unveiled a little bit. They were hoping to get dates, and they did not get those today.
That's the unfortunate thing. I think when you give a date, it just gives your sport an opportunity, an opportunity to be celebrated, an opportunity to be talked about. And while people, and we've done this, right? We had a hockey guest on today. We talked about it twice. While it's nice to be discussed, because they seem to be the most ready right now, when you still don't have a date, it's still a bit uncertain.
So this is all well and good,
but if the NBA comes out in a week and they say starting July 17th, our first games are going to play X amount of regular season, then we'll get to the postseason. When they do that, it's going to be ginormous news. And it sucks that Bettman and the NHL couldn't quite deliver that date to us today.
So it looks like the actual like playing of games, they said at least won't start before July 1st.
That makes sense.
But the other stuff could start anywhere from June 1 through June 8.
Well, I think they
could be anywhere from July 1 through July 15. So they just don't have specifics on it.
I think they're obviously, once you get to this point, you're going to go as fast as logistics allow you to do. They probably don't have all the, they're still working on details, but they've got the, the plan approved at this point, so let's get it out there, and then they can let all the people involved in planning all the logistics start doing it. But you'd hate for it to say, it's okay. It's better to have a little bit of uncertainty regarding that when you have a clear plan. And now he can go back and say, we're working with our arenas in the hub cities to find out how long it's going to take to get everybody and all the equipment we need in place. Mm-hmm. And not knowing if it's going to be 1 week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks to do all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't want to be a big D here, but why did you do this without a date?
Yeah, that's a...
You're missing me with this. Cool, you have an idea. You have a...
Right, here's our format. We voted on it. We've approved it, but we'll come out with our formal announcement when we know things are starting.
Give a date.
Yeah, that's a little frustrating, but it will be interesting. We'll get to NFL true or false. I know we're already against it, but watching all three, because the NBA is looking at one city, one hub. Baseball is looking at regionalized stuff, right? West, Midwest, East, and separating out the schedule kind of in a unique format. Having two different hub cities, I think it'll be interesting to see how that works. The East in one city, the West in the other. Where do you meet in the Stanley
Cup? What's the championship in the middle?
Right. You go somewhere in the middle. Do you just go in one of the cities? So that's their plan as of now. We'll update you if anything else comes out from the NHL. But now it is time for NFL True or False. What do we got today?
All right, we're going to have to go rapid fire. The Seahawks signed former 49er and Texans running back Carlos Hyde over the weekend for some more depth in their offensive backfield for 2020. True or false? The Seahawks will have a 1,000-yard rusher in 2020.
False. I think that'll be by committee. I don't think Hyde will be that 1,000-yard back. Maybe some of the other young guys come on as the year goes on next year. But I don't think they're going to have one guy all season that they ride. This is false.
He's got some bad news in the MLB.
Oh, no. What happened?
The Players Association is very disappointed with the MLB's economic proposal today.
Shocking.
Sources tell Ken Rosenthal, calling additional cuts proposed massive. League offered to share more playoff revenue, but on balance, those dollars are small compared to what players give up, the Players Association believes. If your sport doesn't have a season...
damn it!
False. I don't think Hyde's 1,000-yard back anymore. I love Carlos Hyde. He's fun, shifty, but we don't know about Chris Carson, where he's at, yeah. And we don't know about Rashad Penny, if he's truly ready to take that step. And I sure as hell don't think Marshawn Lynch can get 1,000, so I'll go dirt. I think this is collective effort, not one player gets 1,000 yards.
I believe the same. I think if Carson is fully healthy and ready to start week one, he's got the best chance to do it, because I think he's a guy that Pete Carroll doesn't mind playing all three downs. But that's a big if at this point, so I think this will be false. The NFL is considering a change to the onside kick rule, allowing a 4th-and-15 play from the kicking team's own 25-yard line. True or false, this rule will be adopted for the 2020 season, and a team will convert such a play in week one of the regular season.
This is true. I think when they realize they're not going to be able to have the amount of fans at stadiums that they hope for right now, I think they're going to try to add little wrinkles, and this is a wrinkle that would be big in a lot of people's minds. I think they will, and I do think a team's going to do it. I think the Kansas City Chiefs, why would you not try this? If you're up big or you're trailing big, like, you got a Patrick Mahomes, you got any top quarterback, why would you not try this?
I think I read over the weekend that Andy Reid is against this, which made me do a double take. Like, wait, what? If there's any coaches in the NFL that should be for this, it's probably Pete Carroll and Andy Reid, because they stand to benefit from the most, because they have the two best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Nah, Pete Carroll would probably just hand the ball off.
He'd just hand the 4th-and-15. Let's run the ball. This is true, though. I think there's growing support for this. It would be exciting for fans. It's a unique change. The onside kick has become irrelevant to begin with. Imagine a conference title game. You're down by 2 touchdowns and you got a Mahomes and you're getting a 4th-and-15 to keep the ball. I'm all for it. This is true.
I think this will be approved. I think the initial reaction in media amongst fans was all positive. Mm-hmm. That will give owners and people cover that they won't get lambasted the way they did over the pass interference review rule last year. And I do. I think somebody will give it a crack. Week one's going to be a crapshoot anyway. Who knows how games will go? And I think, yeah, somebody will convert one. All right, Dolphins owner Donald Ross going on the record saying the 2020 NFL season will be played as scheduled. The only question is if and when there will be fans in the stands. True or false, there will be fans in attendance of NFL games in some capacity at over half the stadiums hosting week one NFL games in 2020.
Oh, this is true.
This is true.
I'm rooting very hard against this. Look, you can't tell other people how to run their business, and when you're talking billions with a B, that's a lot of money. Is it really so hard for sports leagues to at least come together and say, hey, maybe for the benefit of the country, let's just hold off on having thousands upon thousands of fans sit right next to each other because we need to make a couple billion dollars even though we make $15 billion a year? I really wish leagues would kind of sack up and step up and just announce this already that they're not doing fans, but they won't. It's the NFL, and they do whatever they want. So this is sadly true.
Yeah, if you're only giving me half, this is true. In some capacity, yeah, whether it's 5,000, 10,000, 500, this will be true.
I think this is false. I don't know. I think there's still going to be a number of stadiums that when they get down to it, they won't be able to implement all the protocols that are going to need to be in place right off the bat. So they're going to want to play the games once or twice before they start letting fans in a number. There will be places like the Dolphins, I think, are going to do it. There'll be some pockets. But yeah, it's 16 venues, over 16 venues there in week one. I don't think so.
It all depends on what the landscape looks like, too. Yeah. I mean, if things flare up this summer, then it's out the window.
Finally, defensive end Aldon Smith has been granted conditional reinstatement to the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys after last playing a game in the league in 2015. True or false, Smith will have more than 8 sacks for the Cowboys in 2020.
Is it a coincidence that all these questionably troubled players who get another chance with the Cowboys somehow always get reinstated? Nice to have Roger Goodell in your back pocket if you're Jerry Jones.
Jared doesn't take risks.
8 sacks? I'm going to go false. That's a long... He's been out of the league for 4 years. I'm not saying he won't be a contributing member to your defense or even be not good, but 8 sacks... That's a bit much. I think he'll help. I don't know if he'll quite get to that number.
Yeah, that's way too long to be out of the NFL for me to trust you to get 9 sacks or 8 or more. I'm going to go false on this one.
Yeah, false. I think they'll find a way. They'll ease him in, probably use him in specific pass rushing situations. He might get to around 6 or 7, but more than 8's a big ask at this point.
Very large ask. There you go, NFL true or false. Every single Tuesday at 1:30. We still have a lot to get to in the show. It is a mail sack day, so we'll get to your questions. Text them in. 55305 is the fan text line. Get to those coming up in the final hour of the show. Some other things as well. I want to dive a little bit into this baseball stuff, and some more reporting's coming out as the Players Association and the owners just got off of a phone call, and it's not looking very optimistic. We'll get into that a little bit. Crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. While they're temporarily closed, they want you to continue working out, so don't sweat it. Over 100 free workouts available at crunchlive.com. You can use it on your phone, your TV, or your tablet. Mail sack coming up at 2:15. Some other stuff to get to in the final hour of the show as well. So let's start with the bad, and then we'll get to the good here, because there's all sorts of news coming out right now. There's a lot going on Twitter in the last, like, 10 minutes. So we'll start with the bad news, and that was what you pointed out in the last segment. The MLB Players Association has come out, and they are extremely disappointed with what Major League Baseball had to offer today. So this is the key week of negotiation for the Players Association and the owners. If there is going to be a baseball season, they have to S or get off the pot, if you will. And if you can't come to an agreement in the next week or so, not much is going to budge. And we're not going to have a baseball season.
Sunday is June 1st, my man.
Sunday is June. Yeah, we're almost into June, man. This is it.
Or Saturday. Would it be Saturday?
Yeah.
31st.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
It's coming up. It's right around the corner.
What's today's date?
Today is the 26th.
So there you go.
It's right around the corner. So this is the time for them. So the Players Association has come out and said these cuts that we're taking are massive. Additional pay cuts are ridiculous. The league's offer to share more of the playoff revenue, they are basically saying, is crumbs compared to what they're going to be losing during the pay cuts they're taking in the regular season. Rosenthal, though, did try and put a positive spin on this and saying that this is the opening proposal financially for them. So there's a long week ahead, and the Players Association, at least if you want the good news out of it, this is not a dead negotiation. They're just extremely disappointed with the opening offer. It also sounds like, according to Joel Sherman, that they are far apart on the health and safety protocols as well.
Shocking.
So
yeah, Bryce Harper, I think, had a quote, and you know, it's Bryce Harper, but he comes out and he basically says, I'm not going to stop spitting.
Yeah, a lot of guys were like, they wanted the Major League Baseball to take their health and security seriously. And then they came out with a 68-page manifesto about what you can and cannot do. And players are like, wait, what? We can't, huh? We're not allowed to do any of that stuff? So apparently there's a big gap financially and a big gap in health and safety, and they have a week to figure it out. Good luck, Major League Baseball.
Well, and the owners are doing the smart thing. They're basically letting it leak about how pissed the players are, yeah. Because guess who they're going to blame for this whole thing? Mm-hmm. This is all going to be placed on the players. I think a lot of people, if baseball does not figure out a way to come back, and I still think that they will, but if they don't, this is going to be 1994 all over again. You have nobody to blame but the players. It's all the players' fault. And then when the season resumes, you're going to boo just the players, even though greed goes two ways. It's not really a one-way street. So not really shocking to see this is the way it's going, that the players today look more and more greedy, mm-hmm. and somehow the owners are the victims in this whole thing, but that's kind of how it's being portrayed and set up.
So Jeff Passan just took to Twitter as well. I'll read what he just wrote. MLB proposed cuts to the highest paid players in baseball in its first economic proposal to the players Tuesday. Players, in turn, bristled at the proposal. There is a significant gap between them and what the league offered and what the players want. He added, worth noting, it's the first day of this extremely important week, and this is the first proposal from the league. That said, there is a disappointment from the players, and to get anything close to what they want to play, MLB is going to have to move significantly off of its proposal.
Well, and I don't know if I said this on the show, but if I did, apologies, but I remember hearing Passan on a podcast. He said, in a way, the players' union doesn't just view this as a fight for this season and playing during coronavirus. Yep. This is a sticking point. They don't want to commit to something that they believe the owners will try to screw them on. And the owners can say that they're only going to do this for X amount of time and this will only last during the pandemic or whatever. The Players Association basically just doesn't trust it. And they don't want to agree to something where the next year the owners go, well, we'll pay you when we have more money. We bring in more revenue after the season. They don't want to keep kicking this can down the road. So the Players Association's coming from two places. One, they don't want to be stiffed on their pay. And two, they don't really trust the owners to the point where they think the owners are still going to commit to these changes that they're trying to enact this year.
Yeah, it's tough look, too, for the players PR-wise when you leak that their proposed financial plan was to cut the salaries of the highest-paid players in baseball, and the players bristled at that.
Yeah.
The owners are going to win that PR battle. You know how this is going to work out, that it's going to be Bryce Harper and Manny Machado making nearly $30 million a year. $30 million aren't willing to make 18 for this season and take a pay cut to make sure that the season will happen, that they're going to win this battle because they always do. It should also be noted as well, another discouraging sign is that they don't even have a timeline set up for their next round of negotiations yet. They know it has to take place this week, but they don't have a time set yet on round two of negotiations.
Well, and just, you know, I'm not telling people out there to side with the players, side with the owners. We got a lot of people that text in, and predominantly I would say the owners get more support than players in these situations. Mm-hmm. But Passan just passed this along, so take with this what you will. The proposed pay cuts, according to a source with knowledge of them, would affect all the players. So the highest paid would get the most significant reduction in salary, but you're talking about the lowest paid players also taking a decent cut in salary.
Yeah.
And that's what? $300,000 a year, $400,000 a year these guys make,
$500,000? Somewhere in that range, yeah, for entry-level ball players. Yeah. So that's where, that's an important note, that it's not just guys making over $15 million. Every player, their cuts will be a higher percentage, but everybody's going to have to take it a little bit financially. We'll see how this goes the rest of the week, but not an encouraging start for Major League Baseball. And it's funny to think back to 2 weeks ago when the news broke that the owners had approved the plan, that everybody jumped up and down thinking the season was going to happen. That's just baseball, man. They find a way to screw things up all the time, and it looks like they might screw this one up as well.
I feel like the balance of sports is like right now in front of us, where in my mind, I still think baseball is coming back. This isn't encouraging, but I still think it. The NHL set up a big press conference to have their commissioner basically not label a time that they'll restart, but a plan.
Yeah, they got their plan. The plan's out.
So now in my mind, I kind of think the NHL is coming back, and the NBA, I think, is coming back. But again, they don't have a date either. So we have three leagues that in my mind are coming back. I don't know what I'm going to be thinking if we get out of this and the three leagues don't come back.
At least in the NHL, and it sounds like the NBA is the same way, they just haven't formally voted on it, I don't believe yet. The NHL, at least, they've all approved the plan. So everybody's in lockstep on what it's going to look like. The players, so like everybody agrees on the format. They just haven't announced the dates yet. Are you ready for the opening round matchups? You don't want to know what they're going to be for the playoffs? Because they announced them today.
For hockey?
For hockey, man.
I'd be really, I don't think I care.
You don't care what the matchups are? You don't want to watch Pittsburgh versus Montreal, Carolina versus the New York Rangers, the Islanders versus the Panthers.
Okay.
Your Maple Leafs versus Columbus. There are your opening matchups in the East.
Hold on.
You may jump to the West.
No,
West.
No,
Leafs
hold on.
Jackets and a best of five.
Stop. Let's go, baby.
Sign me up.
Stop. I want to do this game.
Okay.
I bet you we could play this with listeners, too.
Okay.
Who's the better team in these matchups? Nobody knows.
Well, it's hockey, because anybody can win. But your point
right, but like,
remains
somewhat
valid.
Record-wise, who is the better team going into the match? I don't think most of us know.
You want to play that fun game in the East? Okay, first one, Pittsburgh-Montreal.
I'm going Pittsburgh just because of Sidney Crosby.
It is. Rangers and Hurricanes.
The Rangers.
Nope. Panthers-Islanders.
Gotta go with the Sex
Give me
Panthers.
The Islanders.
It's the Islanders. And then
so you don't get to play this game. You're rewatching last year's playoffs. You
are
quite by definition not eligible to play this game.
Maple Leafs and Columbus Blue Jackets.
I gotta go with my Leafs.
Leafs are the 8 seed, baby. That's a great opening round series.
Is it?
Hell yeah, it's a great series. And then in the West, your matchups are Edmonton, Chicago, Nashville, Arizona, Vancouver, Minnesota, and Calgary, Winnipeg.
Dude, I can't wait.
Dude, dialed.
I mean,
Calgary, Winnipeg.
Jets, Flames.
Let's go, baby.
Jets, Flames.
Get the Oilers back in there. Come on, man. Hockey's back, baby.
Let's do that hockey.
So they've announced that's their plan. The regular season's done. So at least the NHL's agreed on all of it. We just don't know what the dates are.
We also don't know what cities. I guess LA was one of 10 hub cities.
You mean to read them off? Here are your hub cities. They're considering Vegas, Toronto, Chicago, Columbus, Edmonton, Dallas, LA, Minnesota, Vancouver, and Pittsburgh. So that's according to Pierre LeBrun, those are the cities that they're considering.
Well, Minnesota actually has tons of hotel space.
You could just choose anywhere in Minnesota.
And it did host the Super Bowl.
Tons of facilities. It's a huge, huge convention city in the Midwest. So they actually, and then, I mean, you've got more hockey facilities than anywhere else, probably in the United States up there.
What are the cases like in Canada? Can they just go play? Or is Canada doing okay?
I don't think Canada's had a huge breakout.
With the Rona? Why don't they just send them up in the middle of nowhere in Canada?
Because, well, I don't know.
Just go play up there, man.
Well, but you're going to have 12. You got to have 12 different hotels.
You're
that
telling
you can
me they don't have those kind of ice rinks up there? Play them outdoors.
Yeah,
let's
but
go.
Each team is supposed to get their own hotel.
Each team gets their own hotel and their own transportation and all of that.
Never been to Edmonton, but they are in consideration. You want to go to Edmonton?
I think you just gave me a sports erection.
Did I?
I can't wait to watch the Jets and the Flames.
You're fired up, aren't you?
I can't wait.
Oh, yeah, baby.
You think these pants are contained right now? Give it another minute.
The plans are out. You're
bursting at the seams.
So there's a segment of good and bad news in terms of the Rona, as Major League Baseball, it looks like as of now, is not going to happen. So way to go, baseball. But the NHL has agreed to their plan, and they've unveiled it, also announcing the regular season is officially done. That's their playoff format. So they can also start voting on MVP and all the different awards. So,
I just think barring the players taking a huge cut, it just based on what we've seen, does it seem like to you the owners are going to be?
It's not looking good right now.
Right?
It's
so
not.
If the owners aren't giving it up, you're just basically have to say the players have to suck it up. And I don't blame them. nor do I feel optimistic about that right now.
Yep. So we'll track that the rest of the week. We'll let you know if anything else comes out on the owners and the Players Association negotiations in Major League Baseball in the last hour of the show. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. While they're temporarily closed, they want you to continue working out. Don't sweat at crunchlive.com. You can go get your credentials at members.crunch.com/members/signup. Coming up in the final hour, we'll get to our mail sack at 2:15. So get your questions in 55305. I have a large question that I need to ask you two gentlemen and the rest of the audience. We have minor league baseball teams doing something that's really cool. A couple of kids did something really stupid. We got a load of final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.